Happy New Year to you and welcome to 2021. With a new year comes a ton of enthusiasm and you're likely setting or have set some guitar-related goals or New Year's resolutions. But I don't want you to make one of the five most common mistakes when setting goals or resolutions. So in today's show, I'm going to share with you the five common mistakes and what you can do to avoid them. Welcome to episode number 168 of the Acoustic Tuesday Show. This show is designed to bring fun, focus, and progress to your guitar journey through my weekly Guitar Geek list, plus success stories from your fellow TAC members. This week, you'll be meeting Marty F., who took a 25-year hiatus from guitar. And over the last 3 years, he's been dedicated to his guitar routine, and he is reaping the benefits big time. You're going to hear about Marty here in just a little bit. Plus, I'll be reporting on some acoustic guitar industry news, a couple podcasts that you need to hear, and a baggage handler alert. Yes, a baggage handler alert. But first, I want to share with you the five most common mistakes when setting a goal or creating a New Year's resolution, and what you can do to avoid those mistakes. We'll go through each one and I'll tell you what you need to do instead of what you might have already done. Goal setting mistake number one is looking at the entire year all at once. Saying things like, I'm going to play every single day this year for an hour, or at the end of the year, I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z. Now, I'm not saying don't set a goal. What I am saying is I want you to break the year up into four equal chunks, right? Every 90 days, I want you to set a new goal. Because 90 days is the magic period, meaning we can accomplish a lot in 90 days, plus we can keep our momentum and positive attitude for 90 days. When you look at an entire year, that's 365 days. And motivation will ebb and flow as it does, and that's okay. But that's also why 90 days is so important. Not to mention, 90 days gives you a chance to pause and evaluate how your progress is going. We'll actually get to that in a little bit. So instead of looking at the entire year all at once saying, gosh, at the end of 365 days, I'll be able to do all these things, look at it in 90-day chunks. I think you'll find much more success and much more happiness and fulfillment in doing so. Mistake number two is setting a goal that doesn't push you past your current skill level. In fact, that's the only way you can get better, is if you push yourself outside your current capabilities. So the solution is to evaluate where you're currently at and set a goal that's just above where you think you can go, because that gives you something to strive for, and ultimately, that's what makes you better. Now, I always thought that there was something to this, but after reading the book Peak by Anders Ericsson, it was scientifically proven. In fact, when he defines purposeful practice, he says there's two ingredients. Number one is absolute focus, and number two is working on something that's outside of your skill level. So when setting a goal this year, make sure that it is something that you're striving for, something that you're wanting to do that you might not currently be able to do. Mistake number three is not anchoring. Now, this has a lot to do with habit creation. And let's put it this way, starting a brand new habit out of the blue from scratch is incredibly difficult. It's one of the most difficult things you can do if you don't anchor. Now, over the next 90 days, you might have set the goal of playing guitar every single day for at least 10 minutes. And that might be a new habit for you. The best thing you can do is anchor your new habit to an existing one. Okay, so let me explain anchoring a little bit. If you have an existing habit, say pouring a morning cup of coffee, or coming home from work, setting your keys on the table, or cleaning up the dishes after you eat dinner at night, that's a pre-existing habit. Chances are you do that automatically. You don't even think about it. So when you anchor a new habit to an existing habit, you say something like this: after I pour my cup of morning coffee and take my first sip, I'm gonna bust out my guitar and play for 10 minutes. Or after I clean up the dishes when dinner's over, I'm gonna bust out my guitar and play for 10 minutes. That's anchoring, and that in and of itself is one of the most powerful things for habit creation. So instead of trying to start a habit out of the blue, anchor it to an existing one. Goal setting and habit forming mistake number four is not making it easy enough to maintain. Now, let me just stop you right now, because you're thinking, Tone, you just told me to make my goal difficult so that it challenges me. And now you're saying make it easy? I think it's necessary to set goals outside of our skill set. I think it's necessary to strive for things outside of our skill set. However, on the day-to-day, those little things you do to try and meet that goal, That's what I'm saying I want you to make easy enough to maintain. You know, we've all had the thought before, myself included, gosh, I'm gonna practice an hour every single day and I'm gonna be awesome because that's 7 hours of practice a week. That's incredible. But on paper, that looks good. In our minds, that feels good. When we actually try and do it day in and day out, it's very difficult to maintain. And chances are, this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna come out of the gate hot and you're gonna practice for 2 to 3 days for an hour a day. It's gonna feel amazing. The fourth day, maybe you'll practice for a half an hour and you'll think, okay, well, I'll just do an hour and a half tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you kind of feel a little guilty and you don't do the full hour and a half, and then time starts building up and you're almost practicing on credit in a way. And ultimately, you feel poorly about the fact that, gosh, I'm not practicing for an hour a day. What I'm saying is make it easy to maintain. So take that thinking, oh, I wanna practice an hour a day. I think practicing regularly is important. That's a good portion of the thinking, but let's make it easy. Let's say let's make it 10 minutes a day. Everybody can carve out a 10-minute chunk of their day to play guitar. And if that 10 minutes turns into a longer practice session, awesome. But if you just get those 10 minutes, at least you can feel good about accomplishing what you committed to and ultimately working towards that goal that's pushing you outside of your current skill set. So yes, make a strong, amazing goal that pushes you outside of your current boundaries, but make your daily habit easy enough to maintain so that you stick to it and ultimately achieve that goal. Goal setting mistake number 5 is pass-fail thinking. This is a mistake that can really sneak up on you and ultimately get in the way of you achieving your goal. This mistake manifests in a couple different ways, but the most common is looking back at your progress and considering it a failure or not amounting to anything. Setting a goal and working towards it is a process, one that you want to continually evaluate and one that you want to continually flex so that it works for you and your unique situation. Remember at the very beginning, I said 90 days was important because it gives you a chance to reflect and evaluate on your progress. This is exactly why. At no point in your guitar journey have you passed or have you failed. It's a journey for a reason. Now, I know that's super cliche, but that's exactly how I want you to approach working towards your goals. You're gonna have a good week, you're gonna have a not so good week, a week that doesn't feel like you've done anything. But if you put in the time, if you put in the work and the consistency, you will achieve your goal. So it's all about showing up every day for those 10 minutes and working towards your goal. Some days, like I said, it's gonna feel amazing. Some days it's not gonna feel great. You might not even feel like playing, but that's okay. Show up consistently. It's a journey and trust the process. That's the most important part. So at no point on your guitar journey have you passed or have you failed. You're simply working towards a goal that you set for yourself that will make you feel good, that will make you happy, that will make you feel fulfilled with the guitar. Now here's a quick recap and exactly what I want you to do for the year 2021. Number 1, break up your year into 90-day chunks. Number 2, when setting a goal, make sure it's outside your current skill set. Number 3, anchor your new habit to an existing one. And number 4, make sure that your new habit is tiny enough and easy enough to do even on the craziest of days. And lastly, number 5, trust the process. Now this all brings me to a question I have for you, and that is this. What guitar-related goal are you working on over the next 90 days? Or what guitar-related habit are you trying to start for the year 2021? Make sure to let me know in the comments below, and may this episode almost act like an accountability post where you can publicly proclaim your new goal, and that might help you build some momentum and kind of light a little bit of a guitar geek fire for you. There is a bunch coming up on today's show. I still have some acoustic news to share with you. I've got 2 guitar snells from our very own Acoustic Tuesday viewers, plus a guitar gratitude story that is incredibly touching and involves a 12-string guitar. But first, I want to introduce you to Marty F. Marty F. has been a Tony's Acoustic Challenge member for 3 years. But prior to joining TAC, he was on a 25-year hiatus from the guitar. Yes, 25 years. But he decided, you know what, I'm gonna dedicate myself to my guitar routine, and he certainly is having a blast right now. Here is Marty's story. I joined TAC on December 18th, 2017, and I'm celebrating my 3rd TAC-iversary on December 18th, 2020. In the beginning, I played guitar off and on for many a year. I just learned basic chords and was self-taught. I played 5 years with a church folk group on Sundays and at special public events. Life got in the way, and I put the guitar down for over 25 years. I got the itch to play again after so many years and had to pick up the guitar because it was driving me nuts. After picking it up again, I had to go through the pain of rebuilding the calluses on my fingers. What a pain that was. I also found out that I was much older and the fingers were not as nimble as they used to be. I got stuck in a rut with my playing and was becoming frustrated until tack came into my life. All changed after that. Three things I can do now that I couldn't do before tack are: one, I can now write my own songs and transpose them if I have to, thanks to Fretboard Wizard. Number two, I can now play songs from memory and don't have to rely on cheat sheets. I learned how to fingerpick for the first time on tack, something I always wanted to learn to do, and my speed is getting faster and faster. I have learned a lot of songs this past year and have memorized many of them. If I hear a song being posted on tack, I'll try and learn it if I like it. I have over 100 songs on my guitar list. I've also moved up the neck and am playing more bar chords. And number three, it has become easy to listen to a song, find the key, and get the chords in less than 5 minutes by writing out a chord matrix. Now that is progress. I should also mention I'm now a Fretboard Wizard grad and a tack mentor in the forum. I have done Fretboard Wizard 4 times. I use this course as a refresher when Tony runs it. The newbies motivate me in the live sessions and I find them extremely educational. It would be amazing if this time next year I can do split screen videos of me playing all parts of a song and become more comfortable at playing solos. Now I should mention I did find a local jam group and was scheduled to attend until we got locked down due to the virus. But I did take it public like I had planned, but had to do it via virtual open mic held in the UK. Thanks for having me, guys. I've played the virtual open mic 3 times now and am getting over the nervousness in doing it. Let's see what the future holds in live playing for me. I do want to do it and will try when we are allowed. I believe in Tony's teaching method so much that I became a life member. Thanks, Tony and TAC staff. Well, thank you, Marty, for sharing your story. You know, it's so cool to hear that you were able to come back to the guitar after 25 years and still have fun, maybe even have more fun than you were having when you first started long ago. And I really appreciate you sharing the story because it serves as an inspiration. I think so often the more time people spend away from the instrument, the more difficult it seems that it is to come back. And you're proof that you can have just as much fun. So thank you so much again, Marty, for sharing your story. And also I should mention, on the New Year's resolution goal setting topic, way to stick to your guns. You know, you were gonna go to your first public jam, your first in-person jam, but you got locked out of it because life threw you a curveball. It actually threw all of us a curveball last year. But you persevered. Instead, you went to a virtual open mic, which just goes to show that if you set a goal that you're truly passionate about, if you set a goal that you truly want to achieve, you'll do whatever it takes to achieve it. So congratulations, Marty, on so many levels, and also congratulations on your 3rd year at Tony's Acoustic Challenge. Let's go ahead and visit 2 more guitar geeks and have a look at their guitar arsenals. These ones come from the Midwest, one from Wisconsin, one from Ohio. Let's go ahead and start out in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. This is Michael Sullivan. He says, I purchased this Guild D25 new in 1980 in Nashville. Since this picture was taken 3 years ago, I did have a luthier lay down some glue and seal the worn areas. There was a little bit of a fear that a hole was coming around the bend soon. I gig full time with this guitar. It's been my friend and longtime songwriting companion over the years. There's been work done to keep this Guild in playing condition throughout the years. I have other guitars, but this one is the one I play live, always. I still use the original guitar case and guitar strap I bought at a musician's flea market 1 week later. Now let's head over to Columbus, Ohio. This is Deacon Robertson, and here is his guitar arsenal going from left to right. We have an Emerald X30, a Martin 00015 SM, a Martin OM28 Authentic 1931, that's a sweet guitar, a Martin D18 SE, a National Style O Steel Body Resonator, and an Epiphone Masterbuilt AJ45 ME. In the front row is a Lohr LM600 VS Mandolin. Well, I want to thank Michael and Deacon for sharing their guitar arsenals with all of us guitar geeks. And if you have a guitar arsenal that you want to share on the Acoustic Tuesday show, please do so. It just takes 3 simple steps to get featured. Step number 1, go to acoustictuesday.store and pick out your favorite guitar arsenal shirt. Step number two, put that shirt on and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. Step number three, go to acousticlife.tv, click on the submit link in the top menu and upload your picture just like Deacon and Michael did, and you'll be featured on an upcoming episode of the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Before we get to the acoustic guitar news that you can use, I just came up with that, let's go ahead and visit one more Acoustic Tuesday viewer. Let's visit in with Jack, and he wants to share some guitar gratitude. Here's what Jack is grateful for.
Thank you for being my friend. Hey, Tony, thanks for letting me share my guitar gratitude story. It involves this 12-string guitar and also involves this guy right here, Dennis. Dennis, John, and myself. Wow, what happened to the hair and the different color there? Anyways, this picture is rather dated, but Dennis and John and I played in a band for over 30 years together. Dennis passed away a couple of years ago, and I didn't realize this. He told his wife before he died that he wanted me to have this guitar. He had it inscribed with the words, "For being my friend." So this guitar here means a whole lot to me, and it's guitar gratitude from a guy I miss a whole lot. Dennis, thanks for being my friend. I miss you, man. And Tony, thanks for letting me share the guitar gratitude story. Appreciate it.
I want to thank Jack for sharing his guitar gratitude story. And if you have one that you want to share, please go to guitargratitude.com. And in one click, you can record a video that's 1 minute or less, and you can share your guitar gratitude on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. On to acoustic guitar news that you can use. The first story that I have to report today is one that I do so with a heavy heart. Tony Rice passed away on Christmas morning, and to hear that news, I have to say I was truly heartbroken, as were many of his fans and many of the folks that drew inspiration from Tony. He was literally my first guitar hero, my first purebred acoustic guitar hero, and I know he was that very person for so many players. So I just want to send condolences to the Rice family from all of us guitar geeks on behalf of the Acoustic Tuesday show and anybody that was ever influenced by Tony Rice. The next piece of news I have is for you guitar geeks who happen to love podcasts. In fact, I have two podcasts you must listen to. The first one comes from Paul Reed Smith, and it's entitled Long Distance. Essentially, Paul Reed Smith calls up a PRS guitar player, and they have a chat. It's all recorded, and you get to listen in. And I have to say, this is a treat. It's like listening to two old buddies chat about guitars. And it just so happens that one of the buddies is the maker of Paul Reed Smith guitars, and the other buddy is an incredible guitar player. Here's a quick snippet of Paul Reed Smith's chat with John Mayer.
You know, you get to a certain level where you just have to keep making this music that you believe coming from yourself. And that is a limited thing, but it's not all the music I could make. So when I was able to get into Dead & Company, I was like, oh, I get to sort of have full range of all the colors of paints.
So the first time I saw the show from the board, I went out to the guy who was incredibly good mixer out front.
Yeah, Derek's great.
Derek's great. And he was the only sound man I ever saw stand on the stage for at least a half an hour to listen to each of the amps to make sure that what he had up front was the same as on the stage. Mm-hmm. I've seen Wynn do that. It's the only other person I've seen do that. Anyway, they gave you so much room. You would start into a solo. If it lasted 3 minutes, that'd have been okay. Had it lasted 12, they'd have been okay. You had so much room, John.
It will never occur that way again. That's why I appreciate every single show. I mean, you know, you hear people sort of lamenting that they didn't make the most of a thing while it was occurring. That has never happened here. I have been aware since the inception of this band that I wish I had six more eyes on my head to see it all. I wish I had four more brains to remember it all. And so every time I'm involved in it, I'm just sucking it up, taking it in, because there will never be another experience where I will have that ability to fly in someone else's airspace. That airspace was created by some people many years ago in a way that is unforgettable, will never be forgotten.
The next podcast I have for you is hosted by Mike Dawes. It's brought to you by Tonewood Amps, and it's entitled, very aptly, Mike Dawes Has a Podcast. And this is where he talks to fellow players from around the industry. They talk about music, industry-related stuff, and all in all, it's so cool to hear Mike Dawes, who's a virtuoso in and of himself, talk to other players who are oftentimes virtuosos as well. Here's a quick snippet of his interview with Nathaniel Murphy, who you may recognize from a previous Acoustic Tuesday show.
You're known on Instagram as sort of a, you know, there's an expression, jack of all trades, master of nothing, right? But you appear to be a master of everything, all these different styles. Oh. You know, you've got the Chet Atkins stuff, you've got the gypsy stuff, you know. But it sounds, obviously, listening to the record, that you are a fingerstyle guy at heart, which is another reason that I wanted to talk to you so we could geek out about our influences and things like this. Because I'm hearing a lot of, like, Preston Reed on this record. Is that, was he a huge influence?
Yeah, huge. Because, I mean, I remember when I first heard Andy McKee, it was probably, like, early to mid 2000s, when it, you know, kind of when YouTube was kind of first gaining ground in that, and I seen it, and it was obviously mind blown because I'd never seen anything like that on the guitar before. And obviously, kind of get down a rabbit hole, and I loved all that kind of stuff. But when I first heard Preston Reed, it was Ladies Night, and you know, I was kind of a blues guitarist, blues kind of rock and roll guitarist. And when I heard Ladies Night, it was kind of the percussion idea, the acoustic, but all, it was bluesy. It had that, you know, that backbeat, that feel to it. And I thought, oh, you know, that was mind blown to me. So I had to learn it. And then I went down a whole Preston Reed kind of, you know, trail for a while, for quite a long time. And he's been a huge influence for me. I mean, Michael Hedges as well. They were probably the main two fingerstyle influences for me, to be quite honest. Hedges and Preston Reed. I remember when I first heard Michael Hedges' Ritual Dance. It was the Live at the Bottom Line recording, and that blew me away. I'd never heard anything like it.
Next up on my list is music played in a sauna. No, I don't believe the sauna is on, because that wouldn't be good for the instruments, nor would it be very comfortable to play in a situation like that. Nonetheless, this comes from Ferris and Jason Romero. They hopped in their sauna in Canada and played the song Right in the Garden off of their new album, Bet on Love. Let's check out a quick little clip. The final piece of news I have for you today is really more of a warning. I'm about to show you some video that is heart-wrenching and could cause some queasiness in guitar geeks everywhere. I get asked a lot why I spend money on flight cases, and this is the very reason why I do so. In fact, after you watch this video, let me know what you would do if you were sitting on the plane watching this happen.
Oh, here's the guitar. Oh, yeah.
I know that's difficult to watch, but if you fly with your guitar, that's the reality. You may very well run into an angry baggage handler. They're not all mad, but some of them are mad, and you don't want them to take their frustrations out on your guitar. That's why I have a bevy of Calton cases that I use, but bottom line, it's better to be overprepared and overpadded rather than underprepared and underpadded, because that's when bad things can happen. Well, that pretty much wraps up the Acoustic Tuesday show for today. I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with me. Let's take a quick sneak peek into next week's show, where we'll be talking about alternate tunings, where they started, who made them popular, and what you can do to start experimenting with them right away. That's all happening next week on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on YouTube. And also remember that your guitar progress, however you define it, is only as good as your guitar routine. So spend the time, invest in your guitar routine, and have fun every single day that you play. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for being a guitar geek, and guitar geeks unite. Cheers, and I'll see you next Tuesday on the Acoustic Tuesday show.